Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
He's wanting to rectify this father's faith so that in the future, his family, his neighbors, his church, and everyone else might come in contact with a faith walker that is walking out practical faith and seeing supernatural things happen all around him.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
There is a great difference between biblical education and biblical revelation. Biblical education is that which we receive from studying, knowing the words on the page. But biblical revelation is the word that changes our hearts and makes us more like Christ. Hello, truth seekers. My name is David Markham, and I'm excited that you're here with me this morning. I know that God has something special for today, and I wanted to begin today by explaining a couple of words. And both of these words in the Greek are translated into the English as the word word, W-O-R-D. In the Greek, there are two words that mean word. I don't know if I'm explaining that very well or not, but here, let me try to clear it up a little bit. One of them is the word logos. Logos is the written word. When you flip through the pages of your Bible and pick a passage and begin to read, you are reading the Logos. This is a word that is written down from God through man and given to us on the page. Jesus was the living Logos. He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and that is the word Logos. Now, Jesus is the living expression of expressed Word of God. But there's another word that is very intriguing and very important to us as believers, and it is the word rhema. There is a rhema word. Now, the rhema word is the spoken word. So you have the written word, logos, the spoken word, rhema. Now, we need both as Christians, but it seems to me that in these final days, as we are on the doorstep of the return of Christ, and we are the 11th hour generation, that we need the Logos, but what we need as much or more of is the Rhema. Because here's the truth. The Rhema is that which is spoken into your heart by the Holy Spirit that changes your heart, that makes you more like Christ. I've had several Rhema words that were given to me by the Lord throughout my Christian walk. And these are those moments that you just feel like revelation has come into your life and you are not the same. Sometimes you can read through the Logos and 5 minutes later forgot what you have read. But you cannot experience Rhema word coming into your life and be the same. Rhema word is the life-changing word. I experienced Rhema in my life at one point about 2 years ago now. And it was concerning my life station where it deals with faith, because I was living a life of theoretical faith and my life was not very practical faith, and God exposed that truth to me through a situation and His Rhema word came to me. I want to tell you about that, just give you a personal look at a Rhema word in my life, and then we're going to get back into where we've been the last 3 weeks in Mark chapter 9, speaking about faith walking. This is where the concept of faith walking came to me. This is where God challenged me to see myself in a different light. And here's kind of how that story went. I may have related this to you by radio before, but it ties perfectly into where we're going to go today. This is what happened to me. I was driving down the road in Texarkana, and a particular road I could take you back to the place where this took place, And up ahead of me and to the right, there was a parking lot on the side of the road there. And I noticed that in that parking lot, there was a person that obviously was not doing well physically. They were having some sort of ailment. And the thing that really keyed me off to that is because they were sitting down, and behind them in the parking lot was an ambulance, and there were two paramedics, one on either side of this person, seeing about them. And I drove past that situation, and within probably 100 yards of seeing that, this is the thought that came into my mind. I thought, how neat would it have been, how cool would it have been if I would have whipped into that parking lot, got out of my vehicle, walked over to that person that was obviously not doing so well, knelt down in front of them so that I could see them in their face, looked at them and simply said this, "Do you believe that God can heal you?" And then they would have responded yes. And then I would have told them, "Then get up. You are whole. You are well. You are healed. Turn around, get back in my car, and drive away." That's what I thought about in a flash within 100 yards of seeing that person and those paramedics. That's what went through my mind. And then here is the rhema word that came to me. As soon as I thought about that, God spoke to my heart, "Then why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do it? Why didn't you do that?" And so thus began my journey in God teaching me what true faith is all about. Theoretical faith says God heals. We have scriptural references. We have words and stories in the Bible that say that. But practical faith walks over to the person and says, "Do you know he can heal you? Then rise. You're whole." And that was the challenge God gave me, that rhema word that says you ought to be operating that way. And then he's taken me on quite a journey through scripture and through personal experiences from that time to begin to experience this and learn this. And that's exactly what this passage in Mark chapter 9 that we've been dealing with these last 3 weeks means to me, as I see what God did for this man and what Jesus spoke into this man. Let me read to you some scripture in Mark chapter 9. This man, Jesus arrives on the scene, and this man has come with his son who is possessed by a demon. This demon is trying to kill his son on a regular basis by throwing him down and convulsing him. And finally, this heartbroken, heartsick, distraught dad, full of doubt and fear, is reaching out to probably the last straw. He takes his sick son to find this Jesus. And he finally comes to the place where Jesus arrives on the scene. And Jesus says to him, I'm going to read Mark chapter 9. I'm going to start in verse 21. Jesus arrives on the scene and meets this father. So he asks the father, "How long has this been happening?" And the father said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and to the water to destroy him." And here's the heart cry of a father that is racked with doubt and fear. The father says, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Then Jesus replies in power and says to him, If you can, all things are possible to him who believe." And here's where I want us to go today. Immediately, the father of the child cries out and says with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." This is what I want you to know. This heart cry from this father said, "If you can do anything, please help us." Jesus responds with a word that I believe was a rhema word for this man. And I'm going to show you why I believe that through this program today. Because Jesus speaks this line to him. He says, if you can. In other words, the father said, "If you can do anything." Jesus said, "If you can." No, all things are possible to him who believes. And when Jesus said that, all things are possible to him who believes, something happened inside of this father. Something happened because a rhema word invaded his life and invaded his heart of doubt. And when a rhema word comes, we are not the same. Now, how do I know that this is a rhema word. Well, I want us to look at verse 24 and see the response of this father to Jesus telling him that all things are possible to him who believes. Verse 24 says, "Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears." Now, we got to make one small correction to the translation right here, because the best manuscripts and translations we have don't have the words "with tears" in it. That was added somewhere along the way in different translations. The best translations just simply say, "Immediately the father of the child cried out." Okay, so two things happen. The father cries out, and then the father speaks. Do you see where it says that? Immediately the father of the child cried out, and then he said something. So two responses here. And first response is this cry, and the second response is a phrase, is something that he says. But I want you to not miss the word of the Lord here. Everything that God gives us in the word is important. Nothing is to be skipped over. It's all comes with extreme import. Immediately the father of the child cried out. Now, this phrase, cried out, the Greek, if we study this out and do the word study, what he did here, and this is hard to describe, you almost have to see this happen to really understand it, but I'll try. The Greek word study tells us that what he did was he made an inarticulate, guttural, emotional sound. This noise came up out of this father. I want to tell you what I think happened. The rhema word caused a change that immediately happened. When I was on the road that day, and I saw the sick person, I saw the paramedics in the ambulance, I'm driving my car 50 miles an hour, within 100 yards, so many things raced through my mind when this rhema word hit. It was like time stood still, and I received a whole message at one time. And this is what happened here. And the evidence of this happening is this father cries, this inarticulate, this guttural emotional noise comes forward. This rhema word had just altered his life. Let me show you. Let me try to bring this to life for you, because when God revealed this to me, it was so amazing. I want you to remember this dad. He came to see if someone could help his demon-possessed son, right? That's what he was after. Jesus arrives on the scene, and instead of help, the boy goes into the worst convulsion that the father has ever witnessed. Do you remember that? Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" In the meanwhile, this demon is trying to kill the son right there. All right, so let me paint this scene for you. I believe at this point of this passage, there are four people present at this time. There's Jesus, there's the Father, there's the Son, and there's the demon. I think this is happening with just them, because in a few verses, the Bible says that the crowd runs to them. So right now, the crowd's not there. Okay, are you with me? This is just the four: Jesus, the Father, the Son, the demon. So you picture this in your mind. The son is on the ground, convulsing violently. Jesus is trying to have a conversation with this distraught father. Okay, you put yourself in that position. Say you were Jesus there. The son is seizing horribly on the ground. The father is broken in before you, seeing his son going through this. Okay, if you're Jesus, let me ask you, truth seeker, if you're Jesus, what would your focus have been on? What would you have been focused on? Okay, I can speak for myself. In that situation, at that moment, I'm focusing on this boy. Aren't you? Don't you see that this is the main activity happening right now? But by what we've studied, answer me this question. What was Jesus focused on at that moment? Well, it wasn't the demon-possessed, convulsing boy. Jesus was focused on this father. Okay, the next question then, to Jesus, what was the primary problem in this scenario? I think Jesus completely turns the tables on this father. And what this father was completely not expecting took place. He was there with his son. He was there to see help for his son. But Jesus turns the tables on him. He's basically ignoring the son. Jesus is confronting this father's faith. And I don't want you to miss a very important three-letter word. The father says to Jesus, if you can do anything, Jesus says to the father, all things are possible if you believe. Now, let me say it again. The father said to Jesus, if you can do anything, Jesus. But Jesus said to the father, all things are possible if you believe. Now, what is Jesus up to here? I'll tell you what I think is going on. The old saying goes, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish, he'll eat for a lifetime. You see, Jesus wasn't interested in a simple healing that day. Now, let's just cut to the quick here. The boy is as good as healed. We know the compassion of our Savior. He's not going to let this boy be destroyed by this demon. In the minds of Christ, this boy is healed. So Jesus isn't so interested in the boy. That's no problem. Throwing a demon out is easy for the Son of God. It's a word. It's a twitch of his finger. It's a bat of his eye, and it's done. That's easy. He's not concentrating on the boy. He's not interested so much in the boy. Jesus is more interested in setting the father free. Why? Why? Why is the boy? That's what I would be looking at the kid. I'll tell you why. So that this family of this father, so that everyone that he comes in contact with from that day on might be touched by God through the hands of a faith walker. He's wanting to rectify this father's faith so that in the future, his family, his neighbors, his church, and everyone else might come in contact with a faith walker that is walking out practical faith and seeing supernatural things happen all around him. In the eyes of Jesus, the problem wasn't the demon. Demons do what demons do. The problem was the father's faith. So why did the father cry out? Because I think the rhema word given to him by Jesus, that all things are possible if you believe. I believe that word brought everything to bear in this father's heart. And in a moment, he realized the shortcomings of his flesh, the doubt and the fear that he was living by, and the freedom that was offered by Jesus Christ. All of that, a lifetime of understanding, took place in the moment that Jesus spoke that rhema word into his life. And when the father realized all that, something spiritual broke and was born at the same time. And it evidenced itself by this issue of this inarticulate, guttural, emotional cry. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced it that way, but I have. I have dealt with the moments where everything came to bear in a moment, and the revelation came through the rhema word, and I was changed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. This father cries out, and then he says, let's look at what he says. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Interesting. Interesting statement. But now we've begun to speak with faith. Let me show you a change in this father. Back in verse 22, the father says, help us. Let me just read it to you correctly. He says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see that word help right there in verse 22? That word is translated deliver us. Don't we pray the deliverance prayers a lot? Get me out of here. Deliver me. And that's what this heart of this dad was praying on behalf of himself and his son. He is relating with his son's pain and woe and with his son's awful situation. He is saying, help us, deliver us. So the word help in verse 22 is deliver. But now we have in verse 24, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And this word help doesn't mean deliver. It's a different word in the Greek. This word means offer us continuous aid. In just two verses, what a change. He goes from crying out to deliverance to requesting the continuous aid of God Almighty. Do you see the change of the mindset in this father? Do you see the change that the Rhema word brought? You see, this father believes, but he knows at the same time that his faith is defective. Okay? Let's just be real. We don't grow the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of the Apostle Paul, in an instant. God can set us on the right path, though, immediately. And the father now believes, but he knows his faith is defective. And that's really what he was saying when he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Really what he's getting across is, I believe that what you're saying is true. I see the truth now. I believe that this is the truth. Lord, help my lack of faith. The old English word is succor. Now, we don't use that word very often, but it's S-U-C-C-O-R, to aid, to relieve, to help. He asked the master, succor me. Offer me continuous aid where I fall short. And here's the truth. I'm going to just get a little practical with this for a few minutes, and then we're going to be done with this teaching. When you and I have spent years as faith talkers, becoming a faith walker is a difficult process. It doesn't come easy. God knows it's not easy. It's a struggled process for an obvious reason. Operating in the supernatural isn't ordinary for us because we've been operating in the natural, okay? Supernatural living is not natural for people living in the flesh. We are accustomed to the natural. So to change to the supernatural is hard. It's difficult. It takes time. It's like this. I'm right-handed, okay? I write with my right hand. I throw with my right hand. I brush my teeth with my right hand. What would it be like if all of a sudden, in some kind of tragic accident, I lost my right hand, and all of a sudden, in the physical, I am now left-handed, okay? I have no other option but to use my left hand. But mentally, emotionally even, I'm still a right-handed person. It takes time for me to change from being a right-handed person mentally to being a left-handed person mentally, to really be able to operate with the left hand so that it's natural to me. That's what we're talking about here. To go from simply a faith talker to become a faith walker, it's a difficult process, but it's one that can happen with the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. But we've got to get a place where we start to pray. Lord, I believe that this is right. This is correct. This is what you want for me. This is what I want for me. I believe that's the truth. Help me where I lack. Help me where I fall short. Now you're on the path to faith walking. God doesn't expect us to turn it on in an instant, never fall short and again, but he does desire for us to have a Rhema word that starts to change our mindset and put us in a place where a process begins. A process like the Father in Mark chapter 9. Let's restate this process as we close today. Number one, we got to realize that our faith is defective. If we're not faith walkers, if we're not living practical faith, then we've got inactive, useless faith. That's a defective faith. That's not a faith that changes the world around us. That's not a faith that changes circumstances. That's not a faith that triggers God's involvement in our everyday life. We've got to realize when our faith is defective. That's step one. You've got to identify that it's defective faith. Step two, we truly begin asking God to begin to succor us, to begin to aid and to teach us and to show us and to move us into real faith. Okay? First, got to realize that the faith is defective. Then we secondly start placing faith on the Lord to change our faith from defective into effective. We've got to give God a chance to do what only God can do. And then number three, we've got to understand that you must start exercising your faith by stepping out into new areas that require God's power and success. You can't stay in the comfortable box and never try to operate in faith. You've got to get out there and start exercising your faith. True faith comes with strings attached. And here's what they are. You've got to live out your faith in word and in deed. Our faith is developed two ways. It's developed through the word. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word, Romans chapter 10. But once the word begins to develop our faith, we have to begin to live it out. You've got to exercise it. You've got to put yourself in uncomfortable circumstances and say, okay, Lord, your word says it is so. I believe that you will do it, and here I go. And when we begin to start exercising the faith that is being developed in us through the word, then we will become more and more the faith walkers that God has called us to be. We have no room for doubt and fear when you are a faith walker. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I know when my faith is defective. I know you can change me. And Father, when it's your will for my life, I want to step out into areas that require faith, because I know when I do, it will trigger you to action in my life. And that's what faith walking is. That's what it's all about. You can do it. I can do it. You need it. I need it. But more importantly, there's a world that's dying and lost and hungry that need to see you and I walking out faith in Jesus' name. It's been wonderful. Hope you've enjoyed this series. I know I have. For goodness sake, keep seeking the truth in Jesus' name. I love you.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573. Or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.